Hey guys, I'd like to take the time to thank Phoenix Shooting Bags for sponsoring the show and helping me keep the podcast free. Go check out their website, phoenixshootingbags.com. And if you want to purchase anything, just type in John Stallone, all one word, no space in between my name, in the shopping cart coupon area, and you will save 20% on your order. It's pretty sweet. They're awesome bags. If you like shooting and you like long range shooting, they are a must. They've really improved my accuracy and really helped me out with my clients guiding. It's made my life a lot easier helping guys get on deer, and it could do the same for you. So go and check them out, phoenixshootingbags.com, and let's roll into the next episode.
Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags and the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. Today we're going to be talking about hunting and fitness and getting prepared for your hunts and some of the things you should be looking at. We're going to try to incorporate, this is the first of a series, we're going to try to incorporate a series of hunt preparation and also keeping yourself in shape, you know, and not just in shape, not in pain. So one of the things I do is that I've been seeing Ethan over at Triple Threat Performance for a couple years now, and he keeps his old body lined up, and now I joined their program where I am working out with them, and the training program's it's a whole new level. So without further ado, what's going on, Ethan?
How are you, John?
I'm good, man. A little sore from yesterday's workout, gotta say. I missed this morning. I overslept.
Or you weren't?
Yeah.
There.
Well, yeah. Both. I wasn't there and I missed it. I woke up late, and then I woke up to a shitstorm of crap with that monsoon we got hit with last night. So I've been putting out fires all morning long.
I suspect so.
Yeah. So anyhow, why don't you give us a little rundown about yourself, your background, what you guys got going on?
Sure. So as you already made the viewers aware, my name's Ethan Banning. I'm the owner and founder of Triple Threat Performance. And, ooh, I think I lost you there for a second.
Yeah, you got to stop playing with the phone, man.
See here. There we go. There we go. I am a coach and practitioner, not tech savvy. How about that?
Yeah.
So I've been in the field of human performance for nearly three decades now. The highlight reel is this. I'm one of six strength coaches in history to have coached in both the NFL and Major League Baseball.
Nice.
I believe strongly in, you know, developing the whole person. We want to create, you know, an athlete, and I look at hunters like any other athlete. They're doing all kinds of athletic things. We need to, first and foremost, increase and improve performance while also developing, and pardon the pun here, a bulletproof competitor.
Yeah.
You know, important. A buddy of mine, you know, ruptured rectus femoris and quad tendon hunting last year. I don't know if he felt like he needed to keep up with his wife, but that she's a famous tennis player that had a patella tendon dislocation at Wimbledon last year, and so he decided to go hunting and do something pretty similar. So Justin's been in, and we've done, you know, some work with him to try to get him back going. He's near full go, but at any rate, what we're trying to do, you know, here at Triple Threat Performance is one, assess people's structural weaknesses and or, you know, physiological weaknesses, if it's fitness or if it's strength, if it's injury, whatever it is, and then implement the appropriate work and modalities to give them the skill sets to have success and be able to enjoy life.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we've been doing there with me.
Indeed.
I don't really have any strengths, so it was pretty easy to
Well,
assess my
so
weaknesses.
so we're building, yeah. So, well, so I mean, and essentially, I mean, and you got to experience this firsthand, so I want to make sure and articulate a little bit better. I mean, we assess what's going on, and like John said, we've known you for a number of years now, and we got some time to really spend figuring out what's going on with your body, and then we come up with a plan that's specific to your demands, and I don't mean your verbal demands, but what your body is telling us, and then what you're trying to achieve in your extracurricular activities. In your case, it's hunting, right? So, and then life. Once we've customized the plan, then it's time to get to work, and we, call our, clients and patients to action. And but we're only as good as their attendance, and like this morning, life happened a little bit,
What are you
but
gonna
well, we're gonna figure out a way to make it up on the back end, right?
Yeah.
So I mean,
Yeah. Yeah.
and here's what I can tell you: our track record, let's not be judged by our methods, but by our results, and our
Right.
track record is fantastic. I mean, I'm very confident about what we do. If you show up and work hard and do what we tell you to do, you will get bigger, faster, stronger, better, and stay healthier.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimately, look better naked, which, I mean,
The wife will appreciate.
well, absolutely.
Oh man. I get this question all the time because, I'm honestly, I don't ever say it because I don't try to get recognition for it. But I'm kind of one of the guys that started the whole hunting in and fitness go hand in hand number of years ago. I mean, I have videos on YouTube from 11, 12 years ago that are showing me doing sports specific training and stuff like that. And like it was so foreign, but in the last like 5 to 7 years, it's really kind of started catching on. There's been a lot of guys out there that have been really promoting it and taking it to a new level, something that I never did. But because of that foundation, I even had a blog, Hunt Fit. I still have it. I just don't update it very often. I get a lot of questions, and a lot of the questions I get, well, one of the things I get all the time is, how important is it to be sports specific in your training? Can you just go to the gym and, let's say do a resistance training regimen and call it good?
Well, interestingly, I mean, one, I would say this: you have a pretty unique and diverse background. So, like, your integration of what you're doing, with your education and so forth, and doing the physical therapy work years ago, I think puts you at a place where you can handle a bunch of that on your own. And when I'm, looking at life, like for me, like technology is something I'm not great at. So when I have a technology problem, I hire an expert. Much like, if I want to be the best at hunting, then I'm going to hire somebody to help me with my specific skills of firing a gun or a bow and arrow, and then I got to work on those skills. Now, from a sport-specific perspective, I think where the missing link is, and we shared about this, before we were on air, a lot of folks in basketball like to shoot free throws, and they'll shoot free throws before practice, and they're fresh. Well, guess what happens in a game? I sprint up and down the court, I get tired, and then I got to shoot a free throw and hit it when I'm tired. And it's real similar in hunting. You may have hiked, you may have run, may have done a lot of different activities to get your heart rate up. Then there's, the
The adrenaline
physiological
factor.
response of adrenaline, right? So that's what we, so to me, hunting's real similar to golfing. You're standing over a putt to win a tournament, your arms feel like they, you have bricks in your hands. You can't feel them. And the adrenaline, or the baseball player that's got two strikes in the bottom ninth and they got to get a hit to win the game. Well, your body doesn't do a great job, or your brain doesn't do a very good job of differentiating between physical duress and emotional stress. So we like to get, clients and athletes uncomfortable physically, and then require them to do something more skill driven. So to your point, sport specificity would, might be, all right, well, we want to get really tired and then have you shoot your bow. Now that's tough to replicate in the
In
gym,
the
but
gym, yeah,
certainly
but
there's some responsibility for those that are looking for greatness to do that a bit on their own, but have the thought process of, all right, I'm going to be a little bit anxious or adrenaline pumping when I'm firing this arrow, then I need to recreate that somehow. And it can't just be, oh, lay down on a bench press and think that that's going to be the thing that gets me from point A to Z. That's A to B, and there's a whole bunch of other letters in that alphabet. So, before, I mean, and candidly, we've gotten way down the road in what I'd consider to be somewhat esoteric. I mean, I would go so far as to say if hiking through the woods gets your heart rate up significantly, we probably should do some foundational things like if you can't do walking lunges for 20 yards and back, you need to just get in better shape. I mean, and so using a wide range of modalities to do that, whether it be a sled or step mill or lunging or squatting, those are all great, general physical preparers to get down the road to that specific or sport specific training, that we're discussing, which I would consider to be, all right, how do we use energy system development? And I know I've seen you do some, I'm going to run with my bow, call it 100 yards or 100 meters, and then I'm going to take a shot, and then I'm going to run, and I'm going to shoot, and I'm going to run, and I'm going to shoot, or I'm going to run there and back and shoot, whatever it is. And that's fantastic. However, I think it's important for the viewers to know that you have years of training under your belt to prepare you to do that. And, and it looks super sexy on video, right? It's great. Well, you don't,
Well, I do all the time, you know.
but I think it's important to make sure that we've created a very strong foundation. There's a reason that, like, a baby doesn't come out of the womb running. They've got to learn how to crawl and stand and walk and then run. And we're in such a hurry, generally speaking in society nowadays, I would encourage people to make sure that they take a foundational approach from a belly button down. Are you strong enough and are you conditioned enough to be able to handle the rigors of hiking all around a mountainous region? And so some of that might be getting your butt out and doing some hiking
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
independent of, hunting. And some of it is like, and so one of the tools that I love is I saw you using the other day is a Jacob's ladder. And I made a comment on that, right? There's no line for the Jacob's ladder, right? Because that shit sucks. But if, I mean, same thing with a step mill. Lots of people want to get on the elliptical and do work on the elliptical. Well, there's no work done on an elliptical. We could do this podcast while on an elliptical. So I'm not a big fan of an elliptical. It's just not taxing
I
enough.
like it for a warm up. That's it. That's like
It's
my thing.
fantastic.
I
Yeah,
jump it off like 7 minutes, got
and
the arms
then
going at the same time, everything
yep.
feels, and then I go stretch. Yep, that's my
But
elliptical work.
so you're using it as a tool in the toolbox, and that's one thing, but it can't be the workout, right? So one of the initial questions was, is it good enough to just go, do this or that at the gym? Well, I mean, we've got to diversify our training. So when we look at retirement funds, we don't want to put all our money in one fund, like Enron people would tell you about that, right? You know what I mean? So we want to diversify, so some variety. Well, the same thing's true in training, and we can't just do the same thing and expect the body to be prepared. So we look at, is the system functional? Is the tissue extensible and pliable? Are they able to, in a healthy manner, go through, the joints, take the joints through range of motion. Once we've established all that, then we're going to make sure, okay, what sort of, what's that point where they're going to throw up? What's, and then back away from it there. And we want to, and basically we want to improve their work capacity. The higher the work capacity, the lower rate of perspiration, respiration, all of that while you're in a stressful environment like shooting a wild animal.
Right.
You know, I mean, while it's fun, it's still, you know.
There's stress. There's a lot of stress involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's not, you know, not what people would think stress is, but yeah, it's not stressful like you're pulling your hair out, but.
No, but it causes the all
your,
the endorphins.
Physiologically, it's the same.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I've always looked at it like this. So obviously I do stuff outside of what I do with you.
Yeah. I think that's a personal responsibility. I think you have to do stuff outside of what you do with us. I mean, I can be as much the expert in strength and conditioning as I want to be, but if you, excellence,
so to speak.
Yeah. Like, I mean, excellence is all the time. I mean, you'll like this. I mean, one of my buddies, you know, average will find you. Mm-hmm. Excellence, it's got to be hunted.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, you know, whether you're out hunting an animal or you're out hunting greatness or excellence or whatever it is, I mean, we're searching for excellence in our fitness, in our personal life, our professional life, you know, in our hobbies. And some hunters are hobbies, some hunters do it professionally. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're going to do it as a pro, you can't treat it as a hobby. You got to act, you know. And that, to me, that's what you're saying. You're like, look, I come train with you, but I also work on my craft outside of that because I'm seeking excellence.
Right. And I view it like this. There's X amount of pieces of the puzzle. You know, for me, it's all my, I'm going to call it my heavy foundation work.
Yep.
I do with you. I also do some PT stuff with you, but I do a lot of PT stuff that, you know, prevents me from injuries and stuff. I do a lot of that outside of what I do with you.
Yep.
Then like you were saying, my training with the bow in my hand, hiking, whatever. I also do that. And on the days that I don't work out with you and I still have some gas in the tank and I feel like I can do something, I'll throw in a different type of, completely different type of workout. It's mainly to shock the system. I like to know that when I'm going to be faced with something, that my body's been there before, some way or some form or another, and I'm not going to be caught off guard. You know what I'm saying? And am I the fittest guy in the whole world? Hell no. We all know that I'm not. But, I mean, for a guy who's in his 40s, I still hang with a lot of guys that are way younger than me in my trade, in my profession as a hunter. And it's because of the work that we put into it. Now, I think the stuff that I do with you is huge. I feel like without that, you're basically building a house on sand. Like you were kind of alluding to it earlier. You can't just go grab your bow and do sprint shoots like I do and not have the foundation for it. You know, it just doesn't work. Or you're just going to get frustrated because.
Or injured. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that too. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't want to go down that slippery slope, but you know, when you build your house on sand, I think we all know, you know, what happens there. I mean, I like that foundational approach. You know, when you look at the higher you want the build or the taller you want to build the building, mm-hmm. the deeper you got to dig your foundation mm-hmm. and the more firm you have to place it. So as much as, you know, similar in developing a human as building a building or a bridge or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, so like, for instance, you had me doing sled drags like I was dragging a deer, you know. Yeah, that's on flat surface, even surface, and it's way more controlled than me trying to drag a deer up a hill or whatever. But it's making my body do that movement. So that when I am faced with it, it's not like I'm not going from from A to Z. I'm going from P to Z, and that's what it's about. So yeah, you could do a lot of things in the gym. They're gonna take you halfway or 60% of the way there, and then you round them out with doing the actual activity. I don't, I guess I don't expect you to run up and down the hills dragging deer all over the place to train for it, but I mean, sandbag, whatever, you could do stuff like that. I mean, in out west, we don't drag deer all that much. It's kind of more of a Midwest and Eastern thing because, of the environment. It's kind of hard to drag a deer out of the mountains. So, we quarter them up. So think of it like that. Yeah, you can put weights in your pack, and use this step mill or whatever, or go do stairwells. And that's going to take you 50% of the way there because it's not exactly the same as you climbing a mountain. The muscles are going to engage different because the slope, the uneven ground, your foot's never striking a flat surface ever, And on top of it, the weight isn't as uniformly distributed as it is when you put a sandbag in or a weight pack or whatever. You got an antler sticking out over here, one over here, and it's kind of tough. I mean, I train all the time. I couldn't get my elk out this year, my elk head out, because I skinned the whole cape and the head, and it was so steep. Every time I took 4 steps, I'd fall over because of the weight of the antlers were trying to pull me down. I even try to flip it the other way and keep the antlers weighted down. Wasn't having it. I end up having to hike out and go get a horse and come back and get the head.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing you can do in those environments, much that's similar to like playing sports. I mean, the best way to get in shape for football is to play football, but you've got to do some preparation work prior to your game. There's nothing like game speed and game shape. There's nothing like the actual hunt, except for the hunt. But what you're talking about is we have controlled environments where we can program and periodize. Your sled drags or your vest loaded step mill or forced treadmill work or things of that nature, so that we've gone way down that road to prepare you for game speed. And that, for me, that's how that works. An imperative to have success. And, had we known you longer, maybe you could have, humped that head out.
It was just so awkward, man. And I couldn't get that thing cinched down right. Every time I take a step, the whole thing would shift to one side. I was like, there was nothing I could do. Aside from having a guy on each side just kind of keep me steady. I mean, it wasn't the weight. I mean, it was heavy because I caped out the whole hide like I did it. So that was heavy in itself. It was probably 120 pounds. It was a lot. It was a lot. It was, well, maybe not that quite that heavy, but it was super heavy. I said I didn't have any problem packing the meat out because it was contained,
Because it was balanced. Yeah, you had more of a balanced load.
Oh my
Wait,
God, it
well,
was.
so some of the things we like to do in training is have people carry an imbalanced load. Dan John talks about, he's a famous guy in strength conditioning, talks about carrying stuff and carrying imbalanced loads. So, I love farmer's carries, but single arm, like suitcase carries, are more commensurate to. Like you may have your bow or a pack or whatever on one side, but you still have to carry stuff on the other side. So you've got this imbalance, and you've got to be able to stabilize at your trunk so that you can carry and not get hurt.
No, that's you. Yeah, I mean, we've done that stuff. You've had me carry just one big weight in one hand and, go back and forth, or one weight overhead and go back and forth, down. Yeah. I mean, that's all
Just
that stuff is key, in my
coming up
opinion.
with as much different stimulus as we can to prepare the athlete for what the environment is going to look like when they participate in, in their competitive field is what we try to do.
Yeah, that's huge. What would you say to a guy that wants to kind of like ease into something like this? Is there maybe I don't know, it might be a little intense.
Well, there's a lot of different ways, in which to enter a pool. My favorite, jump your ass
I love it. I
in.
love it. That's
So,
good.
But I mean, that's part of our assessment, though. We're not gonna.
Yeah,
You
you're not going to
had
beat the shit
you.
out
I
of a
mean,
guy.
you had a significant amount of, preparatory work under your belt before we really started doing anything in that, strength and conditioning world. So, taking you through paces is going to be a little bit different with some than it is with somebody that doesn't have a ton of exposure to it. But
That was almost like a compliment, man. That's like the first time I've heard that come out of your mouth. Usually you're telling me how crappy I'm doing.
Well, I mean, part of the job is pointing. I mean, if you're looking for a cheerleader, you got the wrong cat.
That's for sure.
My thing is coaching is finding your weak links and addressing them. So it doesn't always feel great emotionally, but it feels really terrible to be out, on a hunt and miss because you weren't capable of pulling the trigger right because you were out of shape or whatever the case may be. So I want folks to have success, and that comes from expecting excellence from them on a daily basis. And if what we encourage what we tolerate. So as you know, I'm not the most tolerant
Oh
cat
no,
in the
not at
world.
all. Poor Jake. Oh man. So let's touch on the the PT side a little bit of what you guys are doing. Because I know that being in that environment and having, having worked in physical therapy many moons ago, I share the view that you have. Like I never looked at it as like it's just this.
Yeah, and
And
that's
it's
the
so.
problem really with any practitioner. If they just look at their small scope and go, and I'm not telling people to get out of their lane, I'm just saying, like, if you just, if you're a chiropractor and you think that just aligning bones and joints is going to fix everybody, you are partially correct, but you're a whole lot wrong. And if you're a manual therapist and you think that if just releasing tissue independent of appropriate strengthening and or corrective exercise and or alignments are going to fix people, you are sorely mistaken. And if you're a physical therapist and you think that just corrective exercise is the way to go and somebody has dysfunction or they've got angry, if you have angry inflamed tissue or a misaligned joint and you do corrective exercise on top of that, you just make it angrier and you drive home a poor motor pattern. So at our clinic, what we will do is evaluate, tissue health and then evaluate like joint bone alignment and see what people need and believe. And we believe that, preparing tissue for release by warming it up appropriately and using some different modalities and then doing manual therapy techniques to release tissue. And then if adjustments or alignments are appropriate, we'll align bones and joints. And then once that has settled in, then we look at corrective exercise. And then we take the step into our like healthy lifestyle, healthy living, athlete achievement program, which is almost, I'm just describing what you went through with our clinic into our training center. And most folks are, I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush here, but there are a lot of practitioners that believe wholeheartedly in only their one modality. And I would fall back to diversity and understanding that, releasing tissue, adjusting and aligning, and then correcting movement is really important and in that sequence and in that order. And we believe in a model where we test, treat, retest, test, treat, retest until function is there, and then we get into corrective. Once that, once the person is functioning, then we'll get into healthy lifestyle, healthy living.
I saw it so much, especially when I was in when I was in physical therapy, and it's changing a lot now in physical
It
therapy.
is. It
I've met
is.
a lot of guys that are kind of more into or broader anyway. But you were saying, so the chiropractors all think, body's aligned, you're working great.
Everything falls into place, right? But if
Right?
you've
No.
got no,
But if you
well,
got
here's
angry
the
muscles, it's going to keep pulling that
it's
same.
just going to pull it right out, and
Or
that's the
if
problem.
you're not muscularly balanced, it's going to keep pulling it right out. So
Yes.
there's everything has to be, and I'm one of these guys like, also let's just we'll stick on adjustments right now. If I go in and get an adjustment, and I didn't have soft tissue work before,
Oh,
my body's gonna
I know you
freaking
well
hate
enough.
me. Well, I
Yes.
know you know. I'm saying this so the listeners understand.
Yeah, like you're going to be a
Well,
mess. It
I'm
may
going to
feel
be
good for 90
terrible.
minutes, though, right? And that's
Yeah,
the
I'm
real
not even
issue.
that long. I'm like
You're
15
not.
minutes.
Yeah. But
And
the
now all of a sudden,
average
like,
person.
oh, I feel like, somebody's stabbing me in the, or whatever. And it's too hard, or excuse me, too easy to get on the bad side of feeling good, you know what I'm saying? And
Indeed.
it's so hard to get back. So I guess when it's a cautionary tale. You can use me as a cautionary tale, but it's really important to look at everything, man, just like holistically. I
A
mean,
blend of
I don't want to sound
methodology.
like my cousin Paul is a naturopath, and he looks at everything like, oh, you got the sniffles? We don't just give you fucking Sudafed or whatever, whatever to make it go away. What is causing those sniffles? All right, we did a blood test. Oh, this, and that is out. And the body, everything about the body is the same way, whether we're talking internal medicine or we're talking physical medicine. And, I'm really, I've been through a lot. I've had a couple of really bad accidents where it screwed shit up on me. And then I poisoned myself 7 or 8 years ago. Well, shit, almost 9 years ago now. So eight plus years ago. And that sent me down a rabbit hole that took me a long time, and I'm still not completely out of it,
Yeah, so you're a pretty unique cat, but I mean, I think as adults, most people have some pain. And I think the mistake that people make is that they think they need to live in pain. That's just part of adulthood. And
Right, no.
we don't subscribe to that theory here. And we help people eliminate pain, increase range of motion, and live a healthy, happier life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I don't want to, I'm not trying to give the elevator speech. I'm just telling you what we do and what I see on a
Yeah.
regular basis, and you experience it personally. And I, what, your entire family?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
I would, if I would encourage your listeners, if they found a situation where they really like it, they should just make sure and make use of it. Who we like to be. A lot of people can change their own oil, and people even know, they can air up their tires, they can even rotate their tires. We're the check engine light folks,
Yeah.
I mean, when things start going, I mean, because most people, when check engine light comes on, we got to go to the mechanic,
Right.
and that's who we like to be. And then we like to spend time educating our patients on how to do self-care when they're not with us.
So that engine light doesn't come on as often.
Exactly. I mean, it's critical, right? If you change your
Yeah.
oil and you maintain your car on a regular basis, you don't have those problems.
Yeah.
But it's when we, now if you wreck your car or something like that happens, then it's possible. And but I mean, that's an extenuating circumstance, a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah, my title is Savage. Savage title for sure.
Yes, no doubt.
Cool.
Yeah, you've taken a hit on
Yeah.
your title report,
For sure.
your
My
Carfax.
Carfax.
Yeah. But don't want to cut you short, but I've got to jump in with a patient here in a minute or so.
Yeah, actually, yeah, no worries. I was coming to a close here anyhow. Let's well, where can our listeners find out more about you and Triple Threat?
Well, we're located, as people may not know, in the Phoenix area or in Scottsdale. And you can find us on our website at www.ttpaz, that's Tango Tango Papa Alpha Zulu.com. Or you can reach us via phone at 480-347-3838. So ttpaz.com is probably the easiest way to find a little bit more about us, because everything's going to be listed on there. We certainly have social media on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Right.
Love to have, I think what one thing that I'd like to do is maybe do a little open gym meet and greet and have people come in for maybe a Saturday morning workout, or if Saturday's not the right day, something like that. Say we'll invite some of your viewership to come in and check out what we do and see what makes us different. And the reality is, there's a lot of people doing a lot of different things. We like to think we're doing it, doing the best that we can, certainly the best that we can. I'm not going to represent that we're the only people doing it right. There are lots of people doing some great things out there.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing I'll guarantee about our stuff is you will get better if you do what we tell you to do.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Let's put something together here, kind of like a hunting, train to hunt type. I hate to use that because that's actually a thing, but hunt fit session one Saturday here. Guys, keep your ears open. I'll promote that on Facebook and Instagram and whatnot, and we'll get a group of you guys out there and run you through the ringer.
Oh. We'll have plenty of trash cans that day.
There you go. Well, cool, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you later this week.
Yeah, I'll be there Thursday.
All right, bud. Be good.
All right, later.
Take care.
So the boys over at Triple Threat Performance and I are going to be putting on a Hunt Fit session on August 4th at 8 a.m., at the Triple Threat Performance facility in Scottsdale, 8 a.m. August 4th. The class size is going to be limited, so if you want in on it, you need to RSVP me. Either hit me up on my Instagram or Facebook, or go to the blog johnstallone.me and send me an email. There'll also be some information on the class on my blog. So if you go to johnstallone.me, just search it, you'll find it. It's going to be a good class. Going to do a lot of cool stuff, help you learn some new movements possibly, take a look at the way you're doing things now. And who knows, it might be a program you want to get into and you'll be working out alongside me. So we'd love to see you there. So please RSVP, tell a friend. Triple Threat Performance, August 4th, 8 a.m. Thank you.